Chapter 17, Allowing and Being Yourself. I know I've said it before, but it bears repeating. I now live my life from joy instead of from fear. This is the one very simple difference between who I was before my NDE and who I am today. Before, without even realizing it, everything I did was to avoid pain or to please other people. I was caught up in doing, pursuing, searching, and achieving, and I was the last person I ever took into consideration. My life was driven by fear of displeasing others, of failing, of being selfish, and of not being good enough. In my own head, I always fell short. Since my NDE, I don't feel that I came back to accomplish anything. I only came back to be. Because of this, everything I do comes from love. I don't worry anymore about trying to get things right or complying with rules or doctrines. I just follow my heart and know that I can't go wrong when I do so. Ironically, I end up pleasing more people than my old self ever did just because I'm so much happier and more liberated. This has had a big impact on my health as well, since I now see myself as an infinite being. The physical takes care of itself because it's only a reflection of what's going on within my soul. Unconditional self-love increases my energy tremendously, and the universe acts in kind. The external world mirrors what we feel about ourselves. By letting go of any negative self-judgment, we allow our world to transform, and as it does so, we'll be able to feel greater and greater trust. The more we're able to trust, the more we're able to let go of trying to control the outcome. When we try to move with this flow rather than adhere dogmatically to the doctrines of others or the beliefs we once had that no longer serve us, we more accurately reflect who and what we truly are. As I've described, until my NDE, I'd always been searching outward for guidance, whether it was seeking approval from my peers or bosses, or simply looking to others for answers. I followed the opinions, advice, teachings, and laws that were laid down by other people, whether they felt good for me or not. Often, I adhered to the rituals and teachings out of fear, just in case they were right and had information that I didn't. During my NDE, I discovered that in listening to all these external voices, I'd lost myself. Doing things just in case means doing them out of fear. So these days, I don't follow any established methodology, order, ritual, dogma, or doctrine. In fact, one of my biggest rules is that there should never be any hard and fast rules. I just pay attention to whatever feels right at the time. For me, life is a spiritual experience, and I'm changing and evolving all the time. If we're energetic beings inseparable from the universal life force, we don't need any outside system to make decisions for us or tell us how our energy can be raised or lowered. We're all unique, so no one can really make blanket rules about what's right for us. However, this is what many organized spiritual systems and religions seem to do. Once a structure is established, everyone is expected to follow the same tenets. Those who choose not to are judged negatively, and that's how and why organized religions create divisiveness and strife instead of the unity that they're trying to establish with those very rules. Following a religious path doesn't necessarily exempt us from living a life of fear or even victimizing others. Following a personal spiritual path, however, means to follow the promptings of our own inner being and taps into the infinite self we all are at our core. It's clear how fallible organized systems are once we cross cultures. Indian and Chinese spiritual and healing systems completely contradict each other. Hindus believe eating animal flesh is a sin, while the Chinese believe it's unhealthy not to eat meat. Similarly, Indians have a system called Vastu that has the same purpose as Feng Shui, but is in direct conflict with the Chinese rules. I used to get so lost with each authority endorsing something that conflicts with all the others. Not knowing which one to use can actually create a lot of fear, or at least anxiety, about getting it wrong. So in the end, my NDE brought me back to myself. I believe this is the most powerful idea for each of us, realizing that we're here to discover and honor our own individual path. It doesn't matter whether we renounce the material world and meditate on a mountaintop for 20 years, or create a billion-dollar multinational company that employs thousands of people, giving them each a livelihood. We can attend a temple or church, sit on the beach, drink a margarita, take in a glorious sunset with a loved one, or walk through the park enjoying an ice cream. Ultimately, whichever path we choose is the right one for us, and none of these options are any more or less spiritual than the others. I'm not saying that I'm against organized religion, but I am skeptical of any message when it leads to all the divisiveness, strife, and killing that go on in this world in the name of religion, when in truth, we're all one, all facets of the same whole. Human beings are so varied that some fare better with organized religions or spiritual paths, whereas others don't. If we simply live in a way that nurtures us and allows us to express our creativity, letting us see our own magnificence, that's the best we can possibly do. To advocate any option or doctrine as being the only one true way would only serve to limit who we are and what we've come here to be. We don't have to actually work at doing anything, like following specific rituals or dogma, to stay in touch with our magnificence. We can if we want to, if it brings us pleasure to do so, but it's not a requirement. Simply by following our internal guidance, we find what's right for us, including the methodology we use to look for it. We know we're on the right track when we feel ourselves at the center of our love without judgment of ourselves or others, and we recognize our true magnificence within the infinite whole. For example, prayer can bring great comfort to some people in times of need and also for self-discovery. It may have a positive effect on well-being because of the process of letting go and handing over all burdens. As a result, people who pray may feel lighter and more uplifted, which contributes not only to their own well-being, but also to others, since we're all connected. Any positivity you bring to yourself, you're bringing to the whole. However, I don't believe that those who pray are any more or less connected than those who don't. We all have our own way of recognizing that infinite space within us, and for some, it may be prayer. For others, it can be music, art, being in nature, or even pursuing knowledge and technology, whatever brings out our passion, creativity, and purpose for living. In other words, it's not prayer in and of itself that makes some of us more aware of our magnificence than others. Rather, it's choosing to conduct our lives by connecting with our own internal passion, bringing out a Zen-like quality, and giving our lives meaning and a feeling of unity. I personally don't feel the need to pray to an external God who's separate from me, because I know that I'm always one with the universe 100% of the time. Thus, I feel that my life is a prayer in itself. I do find meditation very helpful because it quiets my mind and helps me bring focus to that central point of awareness where I feel my connection with everything contained within the whole. Meditation might not create this uplifting feeling for others, and that's fine. It's important to do what resonates on a personal level. If you feel you can follow a system effortlessly, or if it's fun, that's great. But the minute it starts to be hard work, or feel like a means of controlling your emotions or thoughts, it probably won't work very well for you. The state of pure allowing seems like the place where most positive change can occur. Let yourself be you, no matter who you are, embracing anything that makes you feel alive. Although I strongly believe that the best thing I can do for myself and others is to consciously keep myself uplifted and do what makes me feel happy, You may be surprised to learn that I don't advocate positive thinking as a blanket prescription. It's true that since all of life is connected, keeping myself in high spirits has a larger impact, as it is also what I'm putting out to the whole. However, if and when I notice negative thoughts creeping in, it seems best to allow them to pass through with acceptance and without judgment. When I try to suppress or force myself to change my feelings, the more I push them away, the more they push back. I just allow it all to flow through me without judgment, and I find that the thoughts and emotions will pass. As a result, the right path for me unfolds in a totally natural way, letting me be who I truly am. Sweeping statements such as negative thoughts attract negativity in life aren't necessarily true and can make people who are going through a challenging time feel even worse. It can also create fear that they're going to attract even more negativity with their thoughts. Using this idea indiscriminately often makes people going through seemingly tough times feel as though they're bad for attracting such events, and that's just not true. If we start to believe that it's our negative thoughts that are creating any unpleasant situations, we can become paranoid about what we're thinking. On the contrary, it's actually less to do with our thoughts than with our emotions, especially what we feel about ourselves. It's also not the case that attracting positive things is simply about keeping upbeat. I can't say this strongly enough, but our feelings about ourselves are actually the most important barometer for determining the condition of our lives. In other words, being true to ourselves is more important than just trying to stay positive. I allow myself to feel negatively about things that upset me because it's much better to experience real emotions than to bottle them up. Once again, it's about allowing what I'm actually feeling rather than fighting against it. The very act of permitting without judgment is an act of self-love. This act of kindness towards myself goes much further in creating a joyful life than falsely pretending to feel optimistic. Sometimes, when we see someone who's really upbeat, effervescent, and kind, but whose life is crumbling, we may think, "See, this being positive thing doesn't work." But here's the issue. We don't know that individual's inner dialogue. We don't know what other people are telling themselves day in and day out, or whether they're emotionally happy. And most important, we don't know whether they love and value themselves. Because of what I realized in my NDE, I feel it's so important not to have judgment and fear towards myself. When my inner dialogue is telling me that I'm safe, unconditionally loved, and accepted, I then radiate this energy outwards and change my external world accordingly. My outer life is actually only a reflection of my inner state. It's not important whether I'm having a bad day or bad week. It's more important how I'm feeling about myself while I'm facing this day or week. It's about trusting the process even as I face a difficult time and not being afraid to feel anxiety, sadness, or fear, rather than suppressing everything until those emotions pass. It's about allowing myself to be true to who I am. Because of this, the feelings will dissipate and occur less and less frequently. Before my NDE, I used to suppress my upsetting emotions a lot because I used to believe that they would attract negativity in my life. In addition, I didn't want to concern others, so I tried to control my thoughts and force myself to be positive. But I now understand that the key is to always honor who you truly are and allow yourself to be in your own truth. Every segment of time is totally unique, and as each moment has passed, it can't be replicated in this physical plane. I've learned to be comfortable with that and to live in the moment. As much as possible, I try not to carry any emotional baggage from one instant to the next. Instead, I try to see each moment as a clean slate, bringing with it new possibilities. So I do what uplifts me or brings me the most pleasure and joy at that time. And while that might mean meditating, it could just as well mean that I go shopping or eat chocolates if that's what I feel like. Living more in harmony with who we truly are isn't just forcing ourselves to repeat positive thoughts. It really means being and doing things that make us happy, things that arouse our passion and bring out the best in us, things that make us feel good, and it also means loving ourselves unconditionally. When we're flowing in this way and feeling upbeat and energized about life, we're in touch with our magnificence. When we can find that within us, things really start to get exciting, and we find synchronicities happening all around us. Synchronicity and the idea of attraction have been given a lot of attention in recent years. The thought of things falling into place effortlessly because we're attracting them is alluring, but I prefer to think in terms of allowing rather than attracting. As I've said, we're one with the universe. Our purpose is to be our magnificent selves, and the external world is only a reflection of what's inside us. The breakdown in my life came from my focus outward, the comparisons I made, and the competition this creates. I used to have the feeling that there wasn't enough for everyone, which causes greed and competitiveness. I needed to convince others to believe and think the way I did, instead of embracing our uniqueness and differences. All these feelings come from a view that the universe is lacking and limited, when it's actually infinite. It's capable of growing and encompassing as much as we are. It's up to us to expand and allow in as much as we want, but it has to be done from the inside out, not the other way around. Once I realized that there is nothing outside of my infinite self, I could begin to focus on viewing myself as an ongoing work of perfection, but in a way that's dynamic, not static, like a kaleidoscope that turns from one exquisite image to the next. Perfection is constantly in motion. To me, this means seeing beauty in the journey and in the apparent mistakes as they take me to another level of understanding. My aim is to feel good enough about myself to get to a point of trust, and in that state, to let go of the outcome. When I began observing my own flawlessness, I started to notice my external world reflecting this. I was attracting what's best for me, which is also the best thing I can do for the universe. Going out and changing the world doesn't work for me, as I've said before. It only feeds into the same judgmental energy that's causing problems in the first place, since it stems from the opinion that something is wrong and needs to be changed. Instead, letting go of attachment to any way of believing or thinking has made me feel more expanded and almost transparent, so that universal energy can just flow through me. More positive coincidences happen in my life when I'm in this state of allowing. We always attract the perfect results, and like calls to like. So the kinder I am to myself, the more outward events will reflect that. The harder and more judgmental I am towards myself, the more my situation will match it. The universe always proves me right in my opinion of myself. Previously, I used to pursue, feeling as though I had to go out and get, do, and achieve. However, the very act of going after something stems from fear. We're afraid of not having what we truly want. It keeps us stuck in duality, because the focus is on the inherent separation between the hunter and the quarry. Now, however, I no longer chase anything. Instead, I allow. For example, when I feel an incredible desire for where I want my life to go, I know that if I were to pursue it aggressively, this would only cause me to fight against universal energy. The more effort I have to put into trying to attain it, the more I know that I am doing something wrong. Allowing, on the other hand, doesn't require effort. It feels more like a release, because it means realizing that since everything is one, that which I intend to get is already mine. The process of allowing happens first by trusting, and then by always being true to who I am. In this way, I will only attract that which is truly mine, and it all happens at the rate I'm comfortable with. I can keep focusing on what worries me, or what I think I need or find lacking, and my life won't move towards what I'd like to experience. It will just stay the way it is now, because I'm paying attention to my fears and what upsets me or leaves me feeling unfulfilled, instead of expanding my awareness by trusting and allowing new experiences. So I can let the picture materialize slower or faster, depending on how quickly I want to let go of my worries and relax into the process. The more attached I am to certain ways of thinking or outcomes, or the more fearful I am of new adventures, the slower the development will be, because I'm not open to the process. I'm not allowing universal energy to flow through me naturally. Having said all that, I don't actually sit and ponder every choice or possibility. All I really do within each moment is to consciously live in that space which is done internally, not externally. Outside, there's nothing to pursue and nothing to attract. And since the universe is within, whatever I experience inside myself affects the whole. Since the tapestry of all time has already been woven, everything I could ever want to happen in my life already exists in that infinite, non-physical plane. My only task is to expand my earthly self enough to let it into this realm. So if there's something I desire, the idea isn't to go out and get it, but to expand my own consciousness to allow universal energy to bring it into my reality here. Pursuing that desire only reinforces separation, whereas allowing means realizing, since we're all one and everything is connected, that which I desire is already mine.